What is cracking, you guys? This is the Art of Partnerships, episode 3. I'm Mario Arroyo, agent extraordinaire. Right in front of me, we got
Kevin Brady, real estate entrepreneur. And today I'm very happy to introduce our guest, Jesse Quesada. Jesse is a real estate entrepreneur himself. And today we have him on to describe and explain to us his partnership in elderly care homes. Jesse and I, we partnered in two different ventures revolving around elderly care homes. And let's start.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesse, it's a pleasure to have you on, man. If you want to go ahead and, you know, take the floor really quick and just let everyone know who you are, what you do.
Yeah, and I want to, first of all, I'd like to thank you guys and thank Kevin for having me on here. You know, you guys have done a great job thus far. You know, I've been watching.
Thank you.
I've been a fan of Kevin for a while, and you guys did a great job. So my name is Jesse Quesada. I'm an entrepreneur. I've been self-employed since I was 19.
There we go.
And I like to tell people I'm a high school graduate that only passed for two reasons, because I played football and because my wife was in one of my classes.
Nice,
and,
man.
And she you know, helped me out a little bit and there with a grade or two. But yeah, so I started my first business when I was 19. It was a daycare, which I still own. That's kind of a partnership with my mother that I have. Then from there, at 22, I opened up a barbershop, got that going. And then at 26, I started flipping houses.
Very nice.
And that's kind of what led me into kind of the assisted living for the elderly homes. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, very nice, man. I can relate to a couple of those things right off the bat. Number one is if I wouldn't have passed high school either if it wasn't for my fiance now. And so I could definitely relate, man. Cheers to good women in our life, huh?
I'm old enough now where I can say it and not get in trouble.
Exactly.
I went to an all-boys high school, so no future fiance.
You got that too, yeah. But right on, man. And, you know, I mean, one thing Kevin and I know we could relate to as well is that, man, you started entrepreneurship at 19 years old.
Yes.
I commend you for that. I started my first business. I was a forklift salesman and became a forklift, opened my own forklift shop at 19 years old as well. You know, so I applaud you for that, man. And, you know, you definitely got the entrepreneurial spirit in you. And, so what we're covering today is, you know, what you do now is, RCFE. Well, one of your businesses. I know you got a few businesses you're working on. And, but today I think we want to dive deep right into, what we're doing with RCFE, which stands for Residential Care Facility
for the Elderly.
Yep. For the elderly. Yep. All right, cool.
You got it.
So yeah, I mean, you know, Kevin, maybe you want to elaborate a little bit more on that too.
Yeah, sure. Well, let's start with some numbers here in terms of what we're looking at.
Right on.
These elderly care facilities are bringing in roughly 38,000 gross revenue a month.
Correct.
So we're looking at, okay. And the facility, the way it runs is each bed is rented out to the residents.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Exactly.
And with all those beds, let's say a three bedroom home, you have two beds in each bedroom. So each bed bringing in, $3,000 to $3,500? Is that what we're looking
at? Yeah, it just really depends on the location. Okay. You know, our Garden Grove location is, you know, it's not in the best area.
Okay.
So our beds go anywhere from 3,200 to about 4,500 there.
Okay.
Lake Forest, our beds can go anywhere from about probably 3,200 to probably about $5,000 in that area. It's a better area.
Okay.
And then you have place like La Habra Heights where, you know, it's a higher end home. So you're looking at more of $6,000-$7,000 per bed.
Very, very nice. And if I can ask you a question, I know you're saying, you know, pricing based off of bed count.
Correct.
You know, as a whole, you know, what does that gross revenue look like as far as what the whole house brings in?
Correct. The gross can go anywhere from 21. You know, we have one right now that does about 21 to any kind of higher end home. You're looking at $30,000 to $36,000 per
wow.
Per home. Yeah.
For a three bedroom, two bath.
Correct.
You're saying in some cases.
And you know what we want to emphasize is these are regular residential single family homes that you can find.
Yep.
Anywhere, just
correct.
Right, wow.
You don't need any special permits or anything like that. Is that right?
Not as a six bed. So it's when you go seven beds and above that you need to get permission from the city. It's called a CUP, conditional use permit.
Okay.
If you're staying six beds and below, there's no permission other than making sure that you're ADA compliant, and then from there, you know, get licensed by the state.
Mm-hmm. Very nice, man. A 3-bedroom, 2-bath, bringing in anywhere from 20,000 to 30. What was that?
36.
36.
Been on the bed count. Yeah,
that's something for our listeners to think about. There,
absolutely.
I think people don't realize that you can buy that single family home, and instead of renting it out to just a regular family,
correct.
What if you rent it out to a business like Jesse's?
Correct.
Right. Because not all businesses, RCFEs, own the home.
No.
Right.
You yourself, correct. Jesse, the ones that you rent, do you own the homes, or are you leasing
the first one that we bought? So initially when we got it kind of involved in the business, we were flipping homes. My wife is an RN. She's a nurse. So she's been working for a hospice company the last, I would say, 7 years.
Okay.
So she was going in and out of these homes to see her. They would be patients for her.
Right.
For us, they're residents. They're not patients. It's a non-medical model. So she kept telling me, we got to look into this model. We got to look into, because she was going to some really nice ones and she went to some really bad ones. And,
right.
The way, she would tell me, like, we're the right type of people to do the right, do it the right way. So when things really started slowing down for us on the flipping side, I started looking at it and again, coming from my background there's not very many people that are paying $4,000 per bed. I mean, I thought it was crazy.
Yeah. I think it's crazy still.
Yeah. No, but once I started doing the research and really started looking, we went and toured a couple of them. It is true. And the more and more from there, I'd really just dove into just where the area and the market is going. With baby boomers, there's 10,000 people turning 65 every single day. So with that, not only do you have the higher number that are turning elderly that are going to need this.
Right.
People are living longer. They're living sicker. So they're not be able to stay at home by themselves. They need places like this. Yep.
So we got a combination of longer and sicker.
Exactly.
Right. Wow.
Exactly.
So something to where, I mean, it's one thing to live longer and still be able to fend for yourself.
100%.
But you're living longer and sicker. You can't necessarily do everything that would entail someone taking care of yourself.
Correct.
So obviously you need that care. Mm-hmm. And that's where you guys step in.
100%.
Yep. And we say it all the time here. The numbers don't lie.
Yep.
And what Jesse just presented are the numbers.
Yep.
These people are going to need somewhere to live.
Correct.
Okay, Jesse, what's the alternative? Like, let's say you get to 75 years old and, or let's just say my parents, let's say they were 75. I come home one day and they fell. Mm-hmm. And then I come home the week after and they fell again. Wow. I realize I have to put my mom or dad somewhere.
Right.
What alternatives do I have, or what options do I have?
Well, the thing that goes with that is most likely they're going to end up in some kind of skilled rehab. The thing about that is they only get so many days. So like let's say my wife can answer more of this on the medical side, but I want to say it's like, let's say 100 days.
Okay.
So once your 100 days are out, it's literally like you got to go. And from that point, either family or somebody is reaching out to a placement agency,
right.
Or doing their own homework and finding homes like ours. And then the people that obviously that are they're ready to kind of go back into a more of an independent, not needing that much more care. They go to the bigger facilities, the Brookdales, the Sunrises, the big box facilities.
Right.
But more of the people that need like longer term, a lot of help. Their higher needs are usually looking for these type of homes, because if they try to get one caregivers at home, I mean, you're looking at, say $25 an hour if you need 24-hour care.
Right.
I mean, that adds up really, really quick.
Absolutely. Right.
So people think that, $3,000, $3,500 a month is steep. They don't realize how much it would cost if it was 24-hour care in-home.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
At $25 bucks an hour.
Yep. $25 an hour.
Yeah, because you're not going to add – you're not going to – hire somebody that's off the street. You're going to hire some kind of agency because, if somebody calls out, you want somebody to be accountable to bring somebody else.
Absolutely.
Know? So that's the thing. So that's kind of what you're paying that higher price for.
Right. You mentioned something about the market. It's, the baby boomers are the ones that are mainly the ones that are occupying these beds, right? And, it's something to where we're all going there.
Yeah.
And
I say it all the time, man.
Yeah, we're all going there. So it's something to where it's something to think about that. I mean, obviously we care for our people that are older than us. They're our loved ones, our grandparents, right now our parents.
Mm-hmm.
And, aunts, uncles, obviously the alternative going from, instead of the, the residential care facility, the alternative was going to like these big companies, right?
Correct.
So what differentiates you guys besides it being in a home from these big companies?
That's a great question. Really, the biggest thing is being home based. Right. You know, studies have shown that people live healthier and longer the longer they stay in their own home. Well, there becomes a time where they can no longer stay in their own home because it's no longer safe. You know, right, there's falls or whatever may. So from that point, what is the next best thing? Then is a home. It might not be your home, but it's somebody else's home.
Right.
Because now they're around other elderly. There's a social component to it. It's not just, you know, them being at home with just a caregiver or, exactly. you know, themselves or a husband and wife that are just kind of elderly and trying to take care of each other. It's more now you're on a group and, you know, you have staff there. You know, they're helping with medication management. They're helping with all those type of things that are going to go along with kind of the aging process. And I say that all the time. I mean, we're all headed there.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the main things that we talk about in our team meetings is anything that we do, it's with our own parents involved. Like, would we be okay with this policy, procedure, system, whatever it may be, if our mom or dad was in our own home? And that's what we always we always do as a team. So
that's great.
Absolutely, man. That was a great answer to the question.
That was perfect.
And you, like, you know, exactly, you know, it's inevitable. I mean, three things that are inevitable is, you know, taxes, time, and death, you know. So you know, with that being said, this is something that, you know, I can see this there being a marketplace for this. I mean, I don't see it changing.
Absolutely.
You know,
With that said, Jesse, let's dive into the ventures, the deals that we partnered on here. Let's start with Pan Choi.
Yep.
Pan Choi was the first project that we partnered on.
Correct.
And it was huge, right? Yep. It was unlike anything else, anything other that you had ever tackled before. I'm talking about a $2 million home on a hill, best sunset you'll ever see.
Yep. Let's rewind really quick here. Pan Choi, is that the name of the property?
Right.
Is that on the street?
It has its own name now. It's big.
So typically we, you know, and for me, especially it came from the flip side of things, we would always name it by the street name.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Pan Choi, that's what.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Let's clarify that right now. No, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I name our flips. You know what I mean? We name them by the street name. So I was just making sure it wasn't a business name.
So with that deal, it was, like I mentioned, such a big deal that you pulled in multiple partners to help you with the financing of so that's how Jesse and I met. We were introduced by our friend. I was introduced to Jesse by Giovanni, our good friend.
What's up, Giovanni?
Shout out Giovanni.
And then, you know, I met Jesse. He told me about this plan to take down this big RCFE on a hill, that it was going to be a luxury RCFE.
Right.
It's like, you got to come check it out.
Yeah.
Went to La Habra Heights. I had never been to La Habra Heights in my life.
I still haven't been there. You've been back.
Actually, you know, I have been there. Yeah.
I haven't been back.
No, that's not true. Dude, you went to the wedding.
I went to his wedding. There we go.
But I know exactly what you're talking about, because we're flipping a property over here in Hyde Park. This guy's been there twice. You know,
like I said,
hasn't seen the finished product.
I'm a numbers guy. Send me the spreadsheets. That's all I need to know. Send me the Google Maps thing, and
that's a beautiful thing, by the way. I mean, not having an emotional tie to something like that.
It's
perfect, man. It's all about the numbers.
And with that said, even though I saw the property and I fell in love with what it looked like, Jesse showed the numbers.
Right.
He gave the facts of everything he just presented today.
Correct.
And it made sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It made sense. And I knew it was protected. I knew it was a good business model. And with that said, this was just an initial investment that eventually he developed the property,
correct,
renovated it to RCFE standards, and then refinanced and paid out his investors.
And at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about the numbers, you know, completely, you know, because just piggybacking off of that, it's, you know, it doesn't, business is a big math equation. That's all it really is. You know, is there a margin? Is there a spread? Is there a market? And at the end of the day, I mean, that's number one. You know,
that's a great point. And then, like you said, as far as like not being able to have emotional ties to things, because it has to make sense. And as much as my wife and I and our team have so much pride in in the effort and everything that we put into our homes, it's still business. It still has to make sense.
Yep.
Because in order for us to provide the care and provide jobs and provide these things,
absolutely,
there has to be some kind of income coming in. If there's not, then I mean, it's
you got to keep the lights on.
Correct.
You
know? Yep. Correct. So one of the things that was on Panchoy was, you know, it was definitely the biggest deal that I have done, had done, or still have done. Mm-hmm. Not only from an RCFE residential care facility for the elderly, but for even on my flip side.
Oh wow!
So it was
two in one
that,
here.
Yeah, yeah. So it was something that we did bring in multiple people, you know, to kind of give you an idea on the property. We purchased it with the total square footage on it. It's like 6,000 and some change. It's a 10-bedroom, 8.5 baths.
Hold on. 6,000 and some change for just the house?
Yes.
Just the house, not the lot.
That's huge.
That's living
square
footage.
I thought you were talking about square footage of the lot.
No.
Wow, that's the house.
Yeah, that's the house.
Okay, imagine.
Now you know what we're talking about. That's why we call it Panchoy. And it has a name on its own.
Exactly. Just to give you guys an idea, a standard in LA County, a standard 3-bedroom, 2-bath is ranging anywhere from 1,100 to about 1,400 square feet.
Yep.
You know, so that's the sweet spot. So we're talking 6 times this?
Yeah.
That's a huge house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the property sits on two parcels.
Okay.
So the main parcel sits on 5 acres, and then there's another parcel that we purchased with 6 acres.
Okay.
So a total of 11 acres. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds like a monster already. Yeah. So what did you guys pick that one up at?
We picked that one up at $1,650.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
And you know, I still believe we got a steal for it. I mean, it was.
Oh, it sounds like it had 11 acres.
It had great bones. Just way outdated. I mean, you remember that?
Yeah, I remember
the wallpaper. I mean, it even had wallpaper on the ceilings. I mean, it was really, really bad.
Okay.
But you know, obviously coming from a flip background, I was able to see through that and, you know, see the potential that this thing could be.
Yep.
It's a beauty. It's a thing of beauty now for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So would you say that's the one that's operating the best right now?
No. So that one right now, we just got licensed. So,
oh, okay. I see.
That one is a whole nother ball game as far as what we dealt with. Cause remember, we talked about 6 beds. So what we try to do initially, on this particular property was to get 12 beds.
Right.
Because the house is so big. I mean, the smallest bedroom in this house is 250 square feet. The biggest one is like almost 400 square feet.
That's huge,
so
dude.
These are humongous rooms. Yeah. So it just only made sense to put 12 there.
Absolutely.
You know, we got denied. Well, we got approved by the planning commission. Then we got denied by the city.
Yeah, you mentioned CUP, right?
Conditional use permit. Yep.
Okay, and that's over 7 beds.
7 beds and above.
So to go for 12, you got to go through that.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay,
so
I see.
We got licensed about 2 months ago now, and so now we're actively, we got licensed as 6 bed in the
very
meantime,
nice.
until we kind of go back to the city and say, hey, you know, we still think the higher bed count is what matters. I mean, because at the end of the day, that area and that neighborhood is an elderly neighborhood.
Okay.
And it needs
it's a great
places
market,
like this. It needs places like
very
this.
Very nice. And what are you guys projecting that one to bring in as a gross revenue?
So if we're going for, let's say, as a 6 bed, you know, our beds, we're going to be charging anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 there.
Okay.
If we're looking at, like, let's say a shared bedroom, if we end up getting the CUP, you know, we'd be looking at about $6,000 a bed.
Yep. Wow. Yeah.
So this is luxury style RCFE. Yeah.
$8,000 to $10,000 a bed. Yeah. That's crazy.
If you look at it from a real estate standpoint, that, you know, people look at, let's say, rental properties, you have your A, B, C market. Mm-hmm. For us, our Garden Grove was probably like a C. Lake Forest is probably like a B plus.
Okay.
And our La Habra Heights is like an A plus.
I mean, nice.
It's really the highest. I mean, in my opinion, I would put that property up against any property in the nation, man. I mean, as far as what it has.
In the nation.
What it brings. You know, like you said, I mean, on a clear day, there's views of Catalina Island, Long Beach.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's no way.
I've seen those views.
It's unbelievable.
I've seen the views.
Yeah.
Wow. And okay, so which one Would La Habra Heights be bringing in the most revenue for you right now?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. And that's the one that's, would you say closer to 30, closer to...
No, it just depends. If it were, if we're at a 6-bed, you're looking at more between 50 and 60.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. 50 and 60.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're still in the process of getting those residents.
Correct.
Sign me up, man.
Yeah.
No, and again, it's at the end of the day, it's like anything else. I mean, there's you know, in real estate.
Yeah. Of course.
When you move into a new market, there's a tough spot of really trying to figure out what, you know, what that market, what the buyer's like, what are the sellers, what they're looking for, all that kind of thing.
And exactly.
That's, that right now we're in the middle of that process of really trying to figure out, okay, on this higher market. And, you know, I tell you what, once we get it figured out, I mean, the sky's the limit.
You know? Absolutely. And you know, one thing that people say a lot in real estate is that, oh, you know, every transaction is the same. You know, that is complete bullshit, man, by the way. And I'll call it number one is because every marketplace is completely different.
Yeah.
You know, you're
yeah.
moving into an affluent marketplace. You're going to they're going to have a lot more demands
correct.
Than the person that's, you know, purchasing 100%. A property around 400,000-500,000.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so I imagine that goes with anything. You know, that goes with definitely goes into residential care facility because. You mentioned $8,000 to $10,000 a bed for the one that you're working on, Pan Choi, right?
Correct.
I mean that it's in a great neighborhood.
Let me tell you this because some people, again, at the end of the day, they're still like, you know, that's a lot of money,
right?
But you also got to look at the market that you're looking for, the clients and residents that you're right. looking for. These are people absolutely. That probably live in the neighborhood, so they're multi-million-dollar right. homes. One and then two that they probably have 24-hour caregivers at home right now. So
absolutely.
Again, you go back point. To that idea of 24-hour caregivers at $25 an hour. You're looking at $15,000-$18,000 a month.
Yep. Right.
So going to 8 to 10 is a discount.
Yep. That's $10,000 off.
And they have a view now. I mean, maybe they don't have yeah, that view exactly. where they're at. Yeah.
No, not only that. I mean, they're probably mingling with other people that are in the facility as well.
That's
and,
good
you know, that gives you a sense of you're still talking to people. You know, correct. You're not like, just by yourself at home watching the same shows every single day. I think that's good, man.
And it's so
win-win
important.
For both sides.
The social part of it is so important.
I agree, man.
We've seen it. You know, we've had residents come to our homes and, you know, they come from home, their own home where they were by themselves and
right.
yeah, they had a fall. So now they need to be in a home.
And, right.
You know, the family says, you know, how much more alive they are just being interactive
absolutely,
that they weren't
man.
Before. And that's it wasn't so much like as far as, you know, them not liking their son or daughter or whatever it may be.
No.
But it was just on a daily basis.
Yeah,
they didn't,
exactly.
didn't have that interaction.
You know? I mean, I used to live in Bellflower and we had this elderly gentleman living next door, retired gentleman, right? I'd find myself in two-hour conversations with this guy. And I noticed that the guy lived by himself. You know, he had no one to really talk to, man.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, so I think, and just for anyone, you know, I mean, nobody really likes to be a hermit crab and just, you know, stay to themselves all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, maybe a good portion of the time, but not all the time,
correct.
You know?
Correct.
And I think that makes someone feel much more alive anyway, just having that human interaction with other people.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's good for overall health in general.
100%. Yeah.
So just to summarize that deal, it was a short-term investment where I put up a certain amount of funds and was cashed out after about 6 to 7 months.
Right.
Not every deal is going to be like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with this deal, that was the plan from the beginning.
Okay.
Was put up some funds to acquire the property,
correct.
Do the renovations, then cash out all the investors. And obviously, it was a safe deal. We felt comfortable doing it
right.
because we had an asset protecting our investment.
Correct.
Very nice. Really quick, I got to ask a question, though. How did – so Giovanni plugged you with him,
right?
But so what?
Let's go back on that story real quick.
Did Giovanni right away say like, "Hey, my buddy has a business opportunity"?
Right.
Like, what happened?
It was kind of like that because at the time I think Kevin was starting to look into this model.
That is true.
And so I don't know if I had posted something or ran into Giovanni one day and kind of told him what was going on, what we were doing. And he's like, "Hey, yeah, you know, I gotta get you plugged up with my buddy Kevin."
Right.
At the time, I didn't know Kevin existed, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, once he got us in touch, that's kind of when we did the tow tour and kind of gave him the vision of what the plan was.
Right.
But. Like I said, every deal is different. This one just so happened to be from the very beginning. It was structured very flip-ish as far as investors.
Right.
Exactly.
We're going to come in, you know, put up funds, you know, and then get a refi out afterwards. You know, make some
okay.
Money.
So you were refinancing the property once it was completed,
right? So it was a cash out refinance to pay off everyone who had invested in the property.
Sweet deal for you, and also a sweet deal for you.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not bad.
But at that time, you know, going back to the story, so when I had met Kevin, he was kind of like, you know, I've heard about this model. You know, I haven't met anybody that's doing it, but I'm interested in it.
Right.
And he was actually the one that told me about the convention in
Arizona. Yeah, right. We went to a convention.
You went with Sean, right?
And I went with Sean, who was our prior guest in episode two.
So just really quick, Sean is the one that introduced this model to you first and foremost.
Yes.
Nice. Sean, okay, cool. Yeah. So you went to the convention.
Went to the convention. It was a convention solely on RCFEs, residential care facilities for the elderly. And I invited Jesse.
Yep.
And I can't really say we learned a ton.
Yeah.
Right. There were good connections that were made there.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, there's three people I still talk to from that. They're still they're out here in LA, but they had gone to the same convention. But for us, I think it was more I was interested in going because, you know, like I told him, at the time we were already operating. We had two operating facilities.
Right.
And when we first got started, we were looking for some kind of help, you know, anything, and we couldn't find anything. I mean, we'd go to existing owners, and they close the door in our face, you know. And then we would go outside of that, and, and it's just nobody had answers. The only ones that had answers were the consultants that you know that we ended up hiring, but you know, at you know, $400 or $500.
Yeah, they charge a premium.
Every three hours. Yeah. I mean, it's something where it just didn't make financial sense for over a long haul.
Right.
So we end up going there, just kind of say, you know what, let's see what we can pick up and all those types of things.
So you made some good connections. That's value.
For sure.
So it wasn't a waste of time, man.
No. But it got us kind of talking a little bit more.
That's good.
That time, we spent a little more time together.
Right.
Got to know Kevin. That's when I became a fan of him. And
right on, man.
You know, at the end of the day, I love what you guys are doing, you know, and I appreciate it, man. I loved working with Kevin, everything that I've done with him thus far, which, you know, we're probably going to get into the second deal.
Yeah, well,
very nice.
Let's jump into it. The second deal was different than the first deal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the huge project that Pan Choi was. Jesse didn't need to bring in several different investors to take down this project. What had happened was your neighbor put his house up for sale.
Correct.
And Jesse reached out to me and he's like, hey, my neighbor just put his house up for sale. It's directly behind mine.
Whittier property, right?
Whittier property. Okay. Yep. I have visions of turning this into an RCFE and maybe eventually moving out of my house and making it a bigger RCFE, stretching it out.
Oh, so your house was that close? Was it right next door?
We share the property line. So literally it's back to back.
Yep. So your backyard was connecting to the house that was for sale back there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Man, that is like, talk about the universe doing something in your favor,
right? Right.
That's almost like it was destined to happen.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow, okay. So go on.
So he reached out to me and pretty much said, hey, I need someone else to help me take down this property. I don't need eight other investors, but how about you and I purchase this property together
and
get in on the business together. So this business model or this investment was different. It wasn't me putting up money and expecting a certain return and then being cashed out. Mm-hmm. We were going to be owners on the property and myself have a percent ownership in the business as well.
Nice. Correct. Okay.
And so now Jesse's in the stages of renovating the property and I'll let you take it.
Yeah. And really when all this started, me and my wife knew from the very beginning that in order for us to grow the way we wanted to expand, we needed to make sure that we had the right people in place. And I mean, that's any business. You gotta live and die by the people that you put in place, because if they're not the right people, I mean, you're going down pretty quickly. Yeah. But to add to that, you know, the policy, procedures, systems that we've created, that we can really take anything from an existing RCFE to a brand new one started from scratch.
Yep.
And so this one is that.
You got a model and system that you're following that is duplicatable.
100%.
That is the best way to scale.
Yep.
The best way to scale.
So kind of give you a background on this one. It was, like I said, it was a regular three-bedroom, two-bath house, 1,600 square feet.
Okay.
We're adding 672 square feet to the back of it.
Very nice.
And we're going to convert it into a 7-bedroom, 3-bath house.
Nice.
And get it licensed as a 6-bed RCFE. Yeah. So at that point, we don't have to deal with the city. There's nothing right. like that.
Of course.
We'll be ADA compliant. And it, this thing will be just as nice as Pan Choi. I mean, as far as aesthetics, because it's gonna everything's gonna be brand new.
And what was the purchase price on this one?
We purchased this one at $585.
Okay, right? Yep. Very nice, man.
And you know, I think at the time it was valued at $630. I want to say
$630. So the appraisal came in at $630, and that's pretty rare when you're doing traditional financial.
Absolutely.
Usually the appraiser brings the value in at purchase price.
They'll bring it at whatever the contract says. That's where they want to bring it.
Exactly.
So the fact that they appraised it at $630 and it needed all these repairs, and you got it at $585.
Yeah. It was all original. It's a slam dunk. 1950 built, and it's all original. And when we're done with it, with the add-on, it's we have an ARV at about $840.
Oh, very okay. So what part of Whittier is this? That sounds like it's
right outside of Friendly Hills.
Right outside of Friendly Hills. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right on. I'm familiar with Friendly Hills. That's it's a prime area to be in Whittier, man. 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Lucerna right around the corner. Yeah, very nice high school. So, good stuff, man. Yeah. That sounds like it was a good deal for you guys. So, when does that one go live?
So, my goal is to be licensed in the next 6 months. That would be my goal.
Very nice.
Being licensed in the next 6 months. So, you know, if you're looking at where we're at, I mean, probably my goal would be by the end of the year.
Okay, so that would be house number 4 for you guys.
House number 4.
Yeah. Okay, house number 4. Man, not bad, man.
Yeah.
Very nice stuff. So, I mean, and we're talking about, so La Habra, let's just go through the list real quick. So let's start with Garden Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Garden Grove is how many bedrooms, how many baths?
Garden Grove is 5 bedrooms, 2 baths.
Okay, and just give me a gross revenue.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. It's 6 bedrooms.
Yeah,
we have shared bedroom there. So what we have there is we have 4 private bedrooms for residents, and then we have 1 shared. And then we have 1 that's used as an office.
Yeah. Right on. So Garden Grove, that's bringing in – let's talk profit. Let's talk profit's a little sexier than gross revenue, right? All right. So how much profit is Garden Grove bringing in for you?
Right so now? Right now we have 5 residents there, and we're bringing in about close to 7, 6 and some change.
6 and some change.
So when we're
let's call
full,
it 6. That's a good day.
When we're full, it can well over $8,000 net profit. There.
Okay. And do you own that one?
We own the business. We lease the property.
Lease the property.
So that was the first one that we got. And I did that one in, you know, that was kind of structured the way I wanted to where.
Right.
We were new to the business. So for me, I wanted to make sure that we want to be in this business.
Right.
So the way my thought process was, it would have been a lot harder to get into it, figure out, you know what, this isn't the business for us.
Right.
And now I'm sitting on an asset that's really a specialty asset because no single family resident or family is going to be buying it.
Absolutely.
That's what I didn't want to get into. So we leased it.
Okay.
And then the next one, once we got through that, that was a really, really tough time. I mean, my wife, it was tougher for my wife, but I had to deal with it when we got home. She was more of the boots on the ground, in the trenches. Yeah. But we learned a lot. We learned a lot.
Good, man.
And that's kind of where
again, that was number one, right?
That was number one.
The first one, you always learn the most, man.
Yeah, and like I tell her, and we have great discussions about all the time, just how again that's a lot where a lot of our policy and procedures and systems and everything really came from.
Right.
You know, if everything was, you know, all peaches and creams, you know, we might not have those systems in place.
Right. And with that said, you know, anyone looking to get into the RCFE business, they don't need to be operators.
No.
This is something we want to emphasize to the viewers here.
Right.
Is if you buy a single family home and you take one more step and do the modifications necessary to make it RCFE compliant,
correct,
you can lease the single family home for way more than you could have leased it to just a regular family.
I'll give you, let's use Lake Forest for example.
Yeah.
Lake Forest is an 8-bedroom, 3-bath house. We have 6 private rooms there.
Okay.
And then that would lease to a family, let's say, for about $3,500, maybe $3,600.
Yeah, Lake Forest, absolutely.
But that area for an RCFE, you can easily get $6,000 a month.
Isn't that crazy?
Absolutely, man.
That's almost double.
Yeah, almost double. And what is your actual number on that one?
So as far as what?
As far as profit.
That's the first one that we purchased. So we own the real estate and the business with that one.
Doesn't get better than that.
So that one, we're grossing 21 and some change on that one. And we net on that one $7,000. We bought that one with an upside. So when we bought, when we purchased it, it was pre-existing.
Right.
And we knew going into it that the previous owner was way below market rents on everything that she had going. Really, really a great lady.
Right.
She's, we ended up hiring her. She works for us now.
Nice.
But in the meantime, you know, there we'll be obviously raising up rents as we go. One thing that we didn't want to do was right away get in and raise rents. It's just not it's not our style. It's been on a yearly basis now.
Right.
So there's definitely an upside to that one for sure.
Very nice. And so let's move to number three, would be La Habra Heights.
Yep.
And La Habra Heights, let's go through that one real quick. So you got how many beds again? How much profit? And do you own the real estate or not?
Well, it's in the process. So it's in the process.
Oh, that one's in the process.
Yeah, that one's in the process. Okay.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, no, that one we just got licensed.
I remember I was
six bed.
Okay, yeah, I was asking projections earlier. So let's just go through one more time. What are you projecting again as profit? Mm-hmm. And when are you planning on actually going live with that one too?
Let's do it as a six bed. Mm-hmm. Well, projections would be, and then eventually as a 12 bed once you get licensed as
So as a six bed, we're looking at profit, net profit. We'll bring in about anywhere between 55,000 and 60,000. Net profit, you're probably looking anywhere from $25,000 to $30,000 net profit on that one.
You kidding me, dude?
Yeah. Good numbers.
These are great numbers.
The biggest thing that we've learned about this, is. Like anything else, it's supply and demand. I mean, at the end of the day, there's not enough of these homes. And then you take that for one. And then the second part of it, you know, it's doing it the right way that you become something that people want.
Right.
One thing that we've learned throughout this process is there's really no brands in this industry. Okay. Everything is mom and pop. I mean, we know people that own 15, 20 of these homes. But you go to each one and every single one is ran differently.
That is so true.
And I got to say that I never heard of this until this guy brought it up to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know this existed.
Yeah, I didn't.
You know, I really didn't know. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people watching didn't know this existed. Mm-hmm. You know, but now we're talking, I mean, we're talking taking a regular style property and make $7,000 a month on it. Correct. And I mean, when your mortgage might be somewhere around $3,000.
Yeah, and that's just it though. If you buy a single family home, let's say you were looking to buy a home in California, an investment property. Everyone says buy real estate.
Yeah.
But then you're looking at the numbers and you say, well, shoot, my mortgage is going to be $3,000.
Yeah.
I can only rent it out for $2,500 to a regular single family. Why would I do this? Well, if you take that extra step, there are other opportunities, such as leasing it out to a RCFE operator.
Correct.
Such as Jesse.
So the other part of that is I you know, once I got started flipping, you know, so kind of let's back up a little bit. So I bought my first property when I was 18. I bought a house. Up in
this
Washington.
This guy's done it all, man.
And I bought a condo down in La Habra simultaneously when I was 18. We bought our one at 19. You say nice.
Yeah.
I'll let you know the year, and you're not going to say it wasn't nice.
Yeah. I know true, how old you are, so I'm doing the math in my head.
If you're 18, you probably don't have a 2-year work history. You probably just barely opened credit.
And, you know, the biggest thing was I was one of those kids, obviously, that felt like I knew it all. And, I told my mom, why am I going to pay somebody else's rent? I'm going to do my own thing. And, I bought in 2005, 2006.
Oh,
and, okay. So, obviously, we know what happened there. Mm-hmm. And, everything's a learning process.
Absolutely.
But throughout that process, I said, you know what? I'm never going to buy in California again. There's no way to make money when it comes to rental property.
Yeah.
But as I started looking to this model, and people still question to this day, why are you buying in California?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It's so high. This and that and the other. But I tell them, if the debt service is taken care of, why are you worried about how high you're going to purchase the property for?
It doesn't matter if it's paying for itself.
No, correct.
It really doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, I'm so passionate about that because I get that all the time too. You know, there's so many people, and then I'm sure you get this all the time as well. So many people that, I mean, they're talking about, oh man, the mortgage is so high, this and that. Yep. I'd rather rent, but like, you're thinking outside the box, man. You know, and then at the end of the day, I mean, I remember one time I went to a seminar and this guy was saying that, he was preaching seller financing, you know, and at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what you buy the property at. Mm-hmm. if you're not paying the mortgage.
Correct.
Someone's
correct.
Paying it for
correct.
You.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So, and then you're turning a property into a business and correct. You're making money on top of that. You yep. know, some people are trying to get $500 cash flow
yeah.
on a rental.
Yeah.
You know, and then and we had Sean last episode making $1,000 on a boat. You know, we got yeah. you making $7,000 on a regular 3-bed, 2-bath property.
You know, it's funny you say it because I thought it was, I was talking to she was a multifamily investor and mm-hmm. she said she's looking into this model. And her thing, and with her partner, she's like, if we make on a, let's say apartment building, if we make $200 on a door per door, like we're winning.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, I'm like,
especially in California. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah. I won't even waste my time for $200. Yeah. Obviously, when you're talking shit. About apartments, you're talking about times yeah. 155,
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly.
You're talking about bigger numbers, but it just, for me, let's say a single family home that, you yeah. know, I know people right now that are making $500 on a house.
Yeah. And just really quick, in real estate, the one thing that real estate investors preach when you're buying and holding is do not buy a single family house. Like, that is the last thing you buy right, when yeah, you're going to yeah, be yeah, real estate yeah, investing, yeah, man. Yeah. And I know it's kind of a spin on it because you're not necessarily, whoops, you're not necessarily doing real estate investing.
Correct.
However, I mean,
it's
you're
a component
making,
to it.
Yeah, it is a component because on some of these, you're owning the real estate.
Correct.
It's almost know? Commercial at this point.
Exactly. Yeah,
you're buying a residential home, yeah. but you're leasing it out to a business.
Tell the banks that.
Exactly. Yeah, tell the banks that, right?
Hey, they better catch on to it, man.
No, and that's, it is my opinion in the next 5 years. This is going to be something that the banks are knocking down doors. Once they good. Really, you know, it's, this model is not new. It's been around mm-hmm. for over 30 years. But it's new as far as the surface goes. Mm-hmm. A lot of these homes been right. ran, you know, under the radar, just kind of go with the flow. But right now it's something where I think over the next 5 years, banks are going to be looking at this model and say, look, this is a very, very secure model.
Right.
We need to start doing some loans on these homes, you know,
no,
but
good,
you know, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Now, let me ask you though, is that a good thing for you, for the banks to be able to finance it? Or is
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
100%. You know, cause the problem right now with some of it is trying to figure out, you know, when if you look at Shiloh, we had no mm-hmm. issues because it's a regular home.
Shiloh, the yeah. Whittier house, right?
Whittier property. House, right. You know, it's a regular property right now.
Right.
But let's say, you know, we have students right now that are buying, they're looking to buy existing.
Right. That's it. Existing businesses is where it becomes a problem.
Correct.
It's mm-hmm. still a single family home.
Correct.
But right. the business is being run out of that home, so the banks see it differently.
Correct.
As if it were vacant.
Yes.
Vacant is fine. Someone could come in, buy that FHA.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. All day.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
But not when there's already a business and you have residents in correct. There. The correct. Bank wow. sees that differently.
Yep.
Very, yeah. very interesting.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think next couple of years, I think it's going to change.
So would you say you're a little bit ahead of the curve right now with this business model?
I don't know about ahead of the curve. Like I said, it's been around for a while.
I know you said it's been happening a lot.
As far as us being ahead of the curve, I think what we've come up with as far as the systems and being able to just multiply wherever we want and what we can do, I think for sure.
Yeah.
Because again, I think the people that have been doing it for a long time, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 that have been doing it for 20 years, you know, like I said, everyone's ran differently. So
right.
it's not like they just set up shop whenever they want.
Okay.
Right now, if we had the funding, we can go anywhere. I mean, we can do anything that we want. And put our systems in play. You know, obviously, again, yeah, that's one thing that we're constantly doing. We're constantly recruiting, constantly
right.
you know, looking for new caregivers, constantly looking for staff.
Very nice.
So that we're ready and structured mm-hmm. when that new home comes up, we're ready to rock and roll.
Right. And you could take this anywhere. It yeah. doesn't just have to be California.
You do meetups and mm-hmm. you do classes revolving around RCFEs. I mean, tell us a little bit more about that. Tell our viewers about that.
Yeah, so we started the meetups back in November. We've had a meetup every month, and except for December, obviously, the holidays. But we took a break this month. Our next meetup would be in July.
Okay.
The plan is right now is to kind of – reason why we took a break was we wanted to add more value to what we were doing. Our goal is to be able to provide not just what we do and teach people how to start their own RCFE, but you know, what we've been running into is, let's say we have a hospice, let's say residence.
Right.
Okay. So we have bathing aids from hospice companies that come in and take care of our residents. And they've been really, they always come in that I've always wanted to start my RCFE, but I don't know right. where, how, what. Like, same questions we had when we got started.
Yeah.
Okay. So we knew from the very beginning what we were doing as far as putting together our systems. But more so than that, we wanted to be able to provide. You know,
again, right.
one thing I didn't mention is I'm a coach. I'm a coach by heart. Like, that's just what I love to do.
Nice. I see the SC shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just, this is just because my wife goes there. I'm not an SC fan.
Right on, man.
But
make sure to point that I'm not an SC fan.
Yeah.
Just my wife goes there.
But, you know, the same thing. My wife loves teaching. You know, she right. loves teaching people. So that was one thing that we wanted to provide. Provide what we were looking for.
Very
provide
nice.
an avenue that, you know, really the fast track that people can take to, you know, not have all the bumps in the roads. And obviously there's bumps in the roads any business you do.
I agree.
But when you can have something that can take you from A to Z quicker than what we did, that's what we wanted to provide.
Let me butt in real quick with that. Exactly what he just said is what we're looking to do.
Absolutely.
That is exactly what we're looking to do with our audience, with our viewers, our listeners, is if anyone has a business that they're looking to start, we're hoping to be that partnership to take them from A to Z more quickly.
Correct.
Yeah, more efficiently. Yeah. Maybe just to make it happen altogether.
Correct.
Because a lot of times you need that extra partner.
Yep.
You for you, maybe it's your wife. You know, you probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't your wife. And that's a partnership in itself.
And the biggest part of that, you know, and I kind of spoke on it before, you know, with the partnerships that I've had with you. And I love the process of going through that. But the biggest thing that I've learned throughout any of the business that I've started is just the leverage and being able to leverage.
100%,
you know, man. I'm not going to be good at everything. You know, like I said, I don't know the medical side of things. So, you know, my wife is going to handle that.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm looking at spreadsheets, I'm going to send them over to Kevin.
Yeah,
you
right. know? Exactly.
Definitely. And, you know, one thing that I say a lot, I'm sure Kevin has heard me say this plenty of times, is that none of us is as smart as all of us, man.
Yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, you know, so you think you talk about leverage and stuff like that. Like you're not going to be able to do everything, you know, and you have to be okay with that. You have to be able to find someone that's better at your wife, you know, with the RN side, you know, and stuff like that. Kevin might be a better numbers guy, you know, it all comes full circle because you got to focus at what you're good at.
And let me add, because we were talking about my wife being an RN, but you do not have to be in any kind of medical background to own or operate these RCFEs.
Wow.
These are a non-medical model that, again, I would say probably 80% of the actual owners and operators of these homes are not medical background. You know, I just so happen to be lucky.
That's
to
crazy, man.
For our listeners and viewers out there, think about what he just said.
Just think about it, man.
You don't need a nursing background, a doctor background, and
correct.
You could just be literally an average Joe,
correct.
And
right.
hire caretakers that provide all that.
Correct.
The care for the residents.
Correct.
Exactly, man.
And if you want to take one step back and not get involved at all, then it's just buying the property,
real estate, correct,
and leasing it out to
lease it.
Yeah.
Dude, that's probably one of the simplest ways just to get in, just to get in. You know what I mean? So, man,
I will add to that, and then I'll go back to what I was talking about before as far as our classes, because at the end of the day, for people that want to just buy the real estate, it's a great idea, it's a great investment, it's sound. But at the end of the day, you do want to make sure that your operator knows what they're doing, because that, as sound as this investment can be, with somebody that doesn't know what they're doing in place, that can go south really, really quick.
Yeah, they won't be paying the rent.
Correct. So, you know, going back to some of the classes, like I said, our meetups are the last Thursday of every month. Our next meetup will be in July.
Very nice.
The goal right now is to host it at Kevin's office. I've talked to him, but we haven't set anything in place yet.
Right.
We'll get that on the calendar right now.
At Kevin's office, yes.
Kevin's got so much going on.
Tell me the dates again.
No, very but nice. You know, but again, what we provide there is really, you know, just being able to understand what this is. And that's really what we do, is we share a story. We get people to understand the model a little bit more, and really from there try to get them to really figure out is it, what is the best situation for me? Is owning the real estate have nothing to do with the business? Is, you know what, we get people going back to what I was saying about the hospice, our bathing aids. We have students that come to us and say, you know what, I don't have the financial means to buy this.
Right.
We know they're hard workers. They, you know, we have two bathing aids right now that are working 80 hours a week, 40 hours for two different hospice companies. You're already doing the hardest job.
Absolutely.
So why not work for yourself? And but in their in some of their situations financially they can't do it.
That's it.
So exactly,
you
man.
You bring in somebody that a that partner. Financially can do it.
Yep.
Bring in a partner, and you know, and all of a sudden now you have something really really special.
Spot on.
And like Kevin just said, that's exactly what we're looking to accomplish with this. You know, so when he mentioned a couple of those things, I mean, I couldn't help but grin myself and Kevin too. You know, because we know what partnerships how much quicker you can get there with the right partner.
Correct.
You know, that's most importantly. So. You know, Jesse, really quick, let people know where they can find you, you know, for these meetups and stuff like that. Are you on Facebook, Instagram?
My personal IG is KingKong_2. And then on Facebook, it's my name, Jesse Quezada. Last name is Quezada. And then our Six Bed Solutions is our Facebook page. And then you can find us on Meetup. If you Google Meetup RCFE, we're the only page on there. There's not very, very nice, many people doing it. So. Yeah.
There may be some people that are watching the show right now that probably didn't know this existed and probably might need that service, you know. Yeah. So be sure to reach out to Jesse, guys. You know, hey man, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, I really enjoyed it, Kevin. I know you really enjoyed it, man. I could see it in the facial expression, you know. Yeah. With that being said, brother, you know, definitely appreciate you coming on, guys. I'm Mario Arroyo, agent extraordinaire on Instagram. Reach out anytime you guys have a question, you guys want to propose a business idea. That's what we're here for. We want you guys to flood our DMs, know, so definitely reach out. Kevin, you know, let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, Senor Brady on Instagram. And once again, this is the Art of Partnerships, and we're looking to partner with people just like you.
Tuning out. Thank you, guys.